All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And we've been in this series called Breaking the Yoke of Debt. God is setting us free from debt. He's getting us out of lack, and he's getting us into a place of abundance. The Lord wants us to both be blessed and a blessing. And this isn't just for us. This isn't a message about materialism or selfishness. This is really about the Lord getting us free from things that would hinder us so that we can serve him, we can serve his purposes. Like that verse says in 2 Corinthians 9, that we'd be given an abundance for every good work. The Lord wants to meet our needs, but he also wants to bless us so that we have an abundance for his work to be a blessing to other people. The Lord is wanting to set us free. And I'll tell you, already in our church, there's been financial breakthroughs. There's been promotions. There's been increase in jobs. The Lord is doing a work. I tell you, I've heard story after story, and we're not even a mega church yet. Yeah. And, of course, I've heard stories all the way from Anaheim, our big congregation there in California, Anaheim. Now, the Lord is doing a work, but he doesn't just want to set us free from debt. He doesn't want to just get us out of debt and into abundance. He wants to do it by his supernatural power. And in order for him to do that, we've been talking about this yoke of debt. He not only wants to get us out of debt, he wants to get this yoke of debt out of our hearts. And remember, that yoke of debt is not necessarily what you owe. The yoke of debt is that bondage of the heart that keeps people in lack, or drags them right back into debt. It's a way of thinking, a way of living, that it's called a yoke of debt that keeps people into that lack mindset or habits. And so we've addressed a number of these yokes, haven't we? Over the last couple of weeks, we've addressed the yoke of mammon, that love of money, that deceitfulness, that putting money first instead of putting God first. We've addressed that yoke of lust last week. That selfish desire, that bait and switch where we think, man, I'm going to get what I want, and then really it gets us trapped and such. And we've dealt with those yokes, and I'll tell you, I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to defeat what has been defeating you. It's not just in this financial area, but the Lord cares about our finances, and he cares about these areas of our life. The Lord is breaking these yokes off of our hearts, and he's giving us victory. I believe it. The Lord's releasing victory, releasing breakthrough. But a lot of times what the Lord does is he works on the inside before it manifests on the outside. Yeah. And so we're learning how to get our hearts, if you will, in the right position so that we can receive blessing from the Lord. Just like the Lord, we've used this metaphor a bunch, you remember, just like the Lord got the people of Israel out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of them. Amen. But what did he do after he got them out of Egypt and he had to deal with some stuff in their heart? He got them into the promised land. And that's where the Lord is taking us. In fact, I believe over the next couple of weeks, I believe the Lord wants to talk about being prepared for our promised land. Amen. And then in a few weeks, we're even doing a series called From Debt to Surplus, where we're going to be receiving very practical wisdom of how to get out of debt and even move into abundance. There's a lot of wisdom in the Word of God. And so we're going to address today, right here from the book of Proverbs, we're going to address another yoke. We're cutting away these yokes of debt. And the yoke we're going to deal with today is called the yoke of complacency. Amen. Everybody say complacency. That's just a nice word for laziness, procrastination and such. But see, I don't want to talk about laziness. We're just going to talk about complacency. You get what I'm saying? No, I'm messing. Sometimes we like to use like a softer word, you know? Like that guy who gets really angry. He's like, no, I'm not angry. I'm just a little frustrated, you know? We just like to soften it a little bit. So look at here. Turn with me in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 out loud and all together. We're going to read it in the New King James Version. And so if you don't have that translation, that's all right. A lot of good translations. But just for the sake of reading aloud together in unity, let's read from the screens right now. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Now, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Let's read that again. This is a short one. Let's read that again. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. See, the Bible addresses this yoke in our hearts called complacency, or sometimes that laziness in us. Now listen, this is something we all deal with, just like we all deal with mammon or we deal with lust. There's all these things that we have to deal with in our flesh. We've all made bad choices financially. We've all made dumb decisions at times. But the Lord wants to deal with this. Why? Because if he doesn't deal with this yoke will pull us right back into lack or debt. Like it says right here in Proverbs chapter 10, as we just read, the slack hand becomes poor. So, I mean, you could start on the top, but if you don't deal with this issue of having a slack hand, basically not being diligent, going after things proactively, being consistent, being faithful, but being basically someone who wearies, who lacks motivation, lacks consistency, doesn't go after things proactively, it says it will cause poverty. But on the opposite, the diligent makes rich. See, there are many factors why somebody might start behind. There might be many factors why somebody might run into obstacles financially. And those things are legitimate, and the Bible talks about it. For example, you might have a famine or drought or recession hit and affect even people who are doing their best and working hard. There's external things that can make life difficult. Yeah. Or can you imagine being a person like over in Syria, where not only have hundreds of thousands of people been murdered, but they've been displaced. Millions of people have been displaced from Syria and have had to go all over into Europe and such. And even we have people from Syria here in St. Louis and such, but have been displaced. These are hardworking, probably wonderful people who not by any choice of their own have been displaced. See, so things happen. Things happen. Bad stuff happens. There's bad things that governments do. There's bad things that employers do. There's oppressive things that happen in life. You know, definitely in the history of our country and such, there's been those types of things in our country. We have an epidemic in our world, really, of a refugee epidemic because of wars, because of maybe certain things with famine and such. But we have, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. But you notice something that the Bible says here. The Bible's addressing something that despite all those obstacles that we go through and maybe where we start off, the Bible makes a very interesting statement that says, but the diligent makes rich. Or another Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, that sounds very similar. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. See, what this is saying is that the core reason for people getting stuck in a place of poverty or falling into it is this issue of laziness, this yoke of complacency in our hearts. I heard a quote from Booker T. Washington, those of you who don't know who that is, brilliant man, late 1800s, early 1900s, educator, influenced presidents, fought for the rights of the black community after slavery was abolished. I mean, he fought hard, brilliant man. And he said, no person can read the Bible and be lazy. That's amazing, isn't it? This is a man who was very obviously diligent and influential, and he fought for both education and entrepreneurship, especially in the black community. But he made that statement because that's the reality, that when you look at the Bible, diligence unlocks blessing. I asked the Lord, what do you want to say today? And the Lord said, diligence unlocks blessing. So we have to address this yoke of complacency, laziness, procrastination in our hearts, because if we don't deal with it, it will keep us from moving forward. See, when there's that laziness, what will happen is it does not attract favor. It does not attract blessing from people or God. It doesn't lead to promotion. People who are not consistent, right? They don't show up on time to work. They don't work hard. They don't show honor to their leaders. They're not consistent. They can't be relied upon. They miss the opportunity for the promotion. They get overlooked. They don't attract the favor of their employers and such. See, and that's the reality, is it will lead to poverty. But disciplined, diligent people who are consistent, who are motivated, who are proactive and going for it, they're seen. They're seen, and it says here the diligent will rule, meaning they're the ones who will get promoted. They're the ones who will be put into leadership positions. Because even Jesus said, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. But if you're unfaithful in little, you'll be unfaithful in much. Meaning, who's going to give you more if you can't handle what you got right now? Amen. So we show our ability to be promoted and doors to be opened up through diligence. Even the scripture say in Galatians 6, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. Yeah. See? So if you're not sowing, you're not going to reap.
Amen.
Or, notice what it says, whatever you sow, that will you reap. See, so there's this principle in the Bible, not us earning God's favor, not trying to attract God's blessing in the sense of legalistically trying to please God or something like that, not earning our salvation or earning blessing, not in any way. But our faith causes us to diligently obey God and work diligently, and that diligence shows the Lord, hey, I can trust you, and it unlocks the blessing of God. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Diligence unlocks the blessing of God. You know, I'll tell you, I was a lazy kid. I was lazy. Man, I didn't want to get up, do yard work and such. And my dad, time to get up. You know what I mean? Get those feet on the floor, you know? And my dad would have me do yard work and such. I didn't want to do yard work. I still remember my dad saying this phrase often. Do it right the first time. That's some good wisdom right there, by the way. But you want to know why he said that? Because clearly I didn't do it right the first time. You know? I'm sure it irritated him. He would often be very frustrated with me. There were maybe areas where I was helpful around the house and such, and I did chores, and if my mom were here, because moms don't remember the bad stuff we do, my mom would say, no, David did such a good job cleaning the house. You know, and I did. But, so it wasn't like a horrible kid or anything. But I remember I would just watch so much TV, you know, as a kid. Way too much. Like, way too much, you know? And I remember with the yard work, I would have a bad attitude and complain. And I still remember, you know, I'd go do something and get distracted. And my dad I still remember my dad saying, where'd you go? You know, you're supposed to come back and ask me, what do you want me to do next? Right, I was off over here. But you'd think I'd catch it like the first time. No. This was a regular thing I remember him saying in my life, okay? I'll tell you, this issue will really keep people from progressing. Because you can imagine, I frustrated my dad. Well, if I continued to have that kind of an attitude, distracted, not focused, not consistent, not doing things with a wholehearted attitude, well, it's not just my dad that I would frustrate, but boss, right, employer, and things like that. And that's what people do. They'll carry that attitude, they'll carry that way of doing things into the workplace, and it frustrates their employer. Listen to this proverb here. Hold on a sec here. I got it in my notes. Listen to this proverb. Because I know you're thinking, another one? No, I'm messing around. There's so many proverbs about diligence here. Listen to this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Same chapter right there in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26. Listen to this one. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Oh, ouch. Right? See, I've learned over the years as a dad, as a boss. I've been in both an employee as well as a boss. I've learned. Man, the people that are just a blessing to you are the people that go at it and say, you know, what can I do? Say yes, sir, no, sir, you know, who are proactive, who are consistent, that you can rely upon. Hey, can you help me? And I don't take advantage. I don't try to burn people out or anything like that. You know, that's we got to be a good boss. But as a leader, I have learned, man, when somebody just goes at it, keeps their word, oh, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. But man, you ever get smoke in your eyes, right? You're barbecuing. Some of you are going to be barbecuing today for Mother's Day. Watch out for that smoke in your eyes, right? And you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Man, it stings, right? You know, oh, I can't see. That's what it's talking about. It's saying, man, a lazy person, when you delegate to somebody, you know, sometimes like you go to a restaurant and the person just acting like you are bothering them. You ever do, right? Right? You almost feel like apologizing. Sometimes I feel like that, right? You delegate something to somebody in the church or they're doing me a favor, right? And I'm just trying to involve everybody and let's do this work together. They act like they're doing me a favor, but man, they ain't doing me a favor, right? You know, a lot of people, man, that you ask them to help you out with something, and then they'll tell you what you need to do. Man, it's called reverse delegation. Man, they give it right back to you. It's frustrating. It's like, man, now I spend more time I'd rather just do it myself, see? But I don't do it myself. I want to delegate. But yeah, you ever been there? You know, you're in a restaurant or something like that, and you almost feel like apologizing. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can I ask you? Now, listen, we're supposed to tithe. I mean, not only tithe, I'm sorry. We're supposed to bless those servers in a restaurant with a good tip, and we got to be respectful. But you get what I'm saying? Man, when you've got somebody that you can rely upon, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Man, when my kids are complaining, it's not a blessing. See, my kids know if they're going to do chores, I'm going to pay them. I try to show them, look, you work hard, I'm going to pay them. But man, if they're asking me, if they're complaining or they're asking me for money, you know I whip out those phrases that my dad gave me, right? Do it right the first time and, you know. And I tell them, I say, listen, I'm going to pay you for the chores. So stop complaining, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I even threaten, hey, if you're going to complain, I'll take the money, you know. Because I don't like the complaining. I remember my friend used to work, he was a boss at Costco, right? One of those big stores. And I don't know what it was. I'd go to this one Costco, and man, the people were like super slow, had this attitude about them. And I just thought, man, that's just weird. So I asked my friend, I said, you're the boss. You're like one of the managers. What's up with that? And he said, man, it's been really difficult. They have this entitlement, like I'm supposed to, you know, like I owe them and they can act like that and nobody can tell them not to change. And I said, man, that's a bad sign in our culture. That's not good. And I'll tell you this, I didn't want to shop there anymore. Amen. I didn't want to shop there anymore, right? But I was just asking my friend who's the boss, man, how you dealing with this? See, that can be very frustrating. So see, that yoke of laziness, it will keep us from getting that favor and that promotion and stuff like that. Not only that is, you know, we miss opportunities. You ever notice this one here in Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And listen to this. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and I received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Now, see, listen, we all have deferred maintenance, you know what I'm saying? We all have stuff going on in our house, you know? Like, I got, like, a little towel rack I need to tighten and put back up, you know, a little light bulb that needs to be replaced. We all have things like that. We got to get on it, and that's all understandable. But what happens when you delay that, and then you delay it, and then you delay it some more, man, you can cause more trouble. You know, I remember as a young man driving a car, and you start hearing the squeaking in the brakes, and I ignored the squeaking in the brakes until it became a grinding in the brakes. You know what I'm saying? And then I went to the what's that called, mechanic, right? And I went and get the car worked on, and now I have to pay more because it was grinding into the rotors and not just squeaking because the brakes were low. Right. See, what happens when, if you ignore a problem, does it go away? No, it gets worse. And I learned as a young man, I'm wasting money. See, sometimes I've done this at times, I've been busy, I get distracted, and I don't pay the bill on time. Well, now I got fees. Yeah. So see, sometimes laziness, it will cause more trouble. It's easier to deal with it right then, right? And sometimes it's easier to deal with some of the stuff in the house, to clean the house weekly just a little bit, or to straighten up a little bit, or to fix little repairs just a little bit, rather than to wait and it gets so big. And yet I've seen sometimes with people, they'll even say this out loud, the attitude, oh, I'm just renting. It's not my place. Oh, I get that. You know, it's not like when I've been a renter before, it's not like I'm going to do some major repair and put all my money into somebody else's house with stuff that they should do. But I'll tell you, Jesus even said, you remember this in Luke 16? Luke 16, Jesus said, and if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?
That's right.
See, once again, it's this attitude of not taking care of the car, or not taking care of the house, or not keeping it clean, or not, you know, fixing this kind of thing. And what it's communicating to God, and it bleeds into other areas of your life. So what I'm saying is, it's not just, oh, I'm a renter, who cares? It's that this yoke in my heart is keeping me from the blessing in other areas. See, we don't realize what we're doing is when we have this yoke, we miss opportunities. And we're making life harder. There's a proverb that says that the way of the lazy man is the way of thorns. It actually causes there to be more problems rather than when we walk in, when we're diligent, we take care of things, we're proactive, it actually causes things to excel. We were renting last year a house, and the house had some things that needed to be worked on that I didn't have the resources to work on. But man, I'll tell you, we kept it clean. We even fixed up some things in terms of some of the bushes and things like that. And I'll tell you, we left that place better than when we came. We left it better than when we came. It wasn't perfect. I didn't put all his money into like fixing major things. But what I'm saying is that's my attitude. I'm going to keep it clean. I'm going to be respectful. I mean, one side of that, that's just integrity. That's just being a respectful person. But on the other hand, it shows God and other people, hey, I can be trusted with more. You know, even my daughter the other day, she just dropped a little piece of trash on the ground. I get it. Kids do that. But not around me. And I told my daughter, hey, pick that up. She knows. But I said, hey, pick that up. Here's the funny part. She picked it up. She gave it to me, of course. I'll hold it. I'll put it in my pocket. It was a little piece of trash. I put it in my pocket. And we looked around. It was kind of like in a parking lot. And she looked around and she was like, what about all that trash? And I said, well, does that look nice? I said, if everybody took care and just did their little part, we'd make things better. See, it's the investment into something. It's the cultivating it. And it just takes a little bit here and there. It takes everybody doing their part. Just take the trash, put it in the trash can. Rather than just a laziness to just drop it here, disrespect other people's property or your own property, that kind of a thing. Anyways, you get what I'm saying. I don't mean to be so intense about this. What I mean to say is these are yokes in our heart. You see? I've had to deal with this in my own life to say, you know, I can't just sit around and watch TV all day. Get it? It's going to lead to poverty. I'm going to miss opportunities. I can't ignore my breaks. It's going to cause more problems. See, and over time, I've learned, hey, I need to be better at that. I need to pay my bills on time. I need to have a schedule. I've learned. It's not that I've been perfect. You know what I'm saying? It's not that my house is perfect or anything like that. It's not that I don't have a honey-do list, right? Or my wife's thinking, yeah, you know, we still don't have fans. We still don't have blinds, you know what I'm saying? By the way, right, we have a new house, and we're like, oh, we still don't have those things. I'm getting on it. I'm getting on it. Don't judge me. I miss it. But you get what I'm saying? Like, those things, we all have those kind of things. But, okay, but let's get a plan. Let's move forward. Let's get work on these things, all right? So these are the kind of things that the Lord wants to deal with us in our hearts. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times people don't realize something about where laziness comes from. There's a proverb here that says this, Proverbs 22:13. Listen to this. It's an interesting proverb. It says, the lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I will be slain in the streets. What a funny proverb, huh? The lazy man says, there's a lion in the street. I can't go outside because there's a lion. I mean, it sounds like a funny proverb, isn't it? What is going on with that? Why do lazy people, why is it that that yoke of complacency causes us to perceive there's this thing outside and I can't go out. I can't do it. What is it? It's fear. That yoke of complacency is rooted in fear. And what happens is you'll hear it in the words of people who are lazy. They always have an excuse. Always have an excuse why they can't do the work, can't get the job, can't go to school, can't finish it, can't do this. Always have an excuse. But that excuse is rooted in fear. And see, and that's where we need the revelation from the Lord. We need to know that God is with us. We need to know. And we've talked about this even in January. We need a vision from the Lord. We need hope to come back into us and see what God is going to do and that God is with us and he'll give us the breakthrough if we'll step out. Why? Because diligence releases the blessing. It says in Psalm 1, whatever you put your hand to will prosper. That's the blessing of God. Whatever you put your hand to will prosper, but you got to put your hand to it. See, it's not us earning the blessing, but when we step out in obedience to the Lord, we ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And then we step out and we do it. It's in the doing it, sometimes in the doing it in faith because we don't see the results right away. We got to sow and wait for that reaping to come. But if we'll do it, the blessing is on the diligence. The blessing is when we step out and do it. How about this one in Proverbs 20, verse 4? The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. See, lazy people, again, they have this perception that, no, it's not time yet. And they're delaying and delaying and delaying, and they'll miss the opportunity. They're not proactive in sowing when it's time to sow, and then therefore they can reap when it's time. Do you see? And so what happens is the diligent, when that yoke is broken in our heart, it causes us to say, man, I got to get on that. Not in fear, but I got to get on that. I got to do it when it's time. I got to do it now and seize the opportunity and be diligent, right? Listen to this proverb here, Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. That's interesting, isn't it? He will stand before kings. People who excel in their work, they're not going to stay at the bottom. They're going to rise up and be promoted. They're going to get into leadership and such. And notice what it says. Those who excel. That word excel means people who are prompt in their work. They get it done. They follow through. They make it happen. Those who are skillful at their work. You know, there's a lie out there that I have faced so many times as a youth pastor when I pastored young people and even in sports as I coach kids in sports. They'll say things like this. They'll say, oh, I'm stupid. I'm bad at this. I'm bad at that. See, with their words, they're defeating themselves. With their words. And I've seen it before. Maybe they struggle with something in academically. Maybe they're having a hard time focus. Maybe there's a lack of discipline in their life or something like that, so they're joking around in school and such. And what will happen is because they didn't get it the first time, because they messed up, maybe because, and sometimes these words come from teachers, right, or parents, you're stupid, you're lazy, and the words of death come into them. And these kids will speak it, and they'll say, oh, I'm stupid. Oh, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at this. You know, that's a lie. It's a lie. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses. We all have things that we get hindered on, okay? But this is the way I teach my kids. I'll just tell you right now what I tell my kids. Man, it doesn't matter if you're smart or not smart. You work at something hard enough, you'll get it. You'll get it. Because you know what? In life, and in like, you know, jobs or being a business owner, you don't have to be the best. See, that's the lie, that I have to be the best at everything. And if I can't be the best at everything, then I should just quit now. That's the lie. You don't have to be the best at everything. You know what you got to do? Just do the will of God in your life. You just need to excel in what God has called you to do. See, because if you'll go after something, you could be the worst at math, but you might be the best at, let's say, you know, counseling people or something. You might be the worst at spelling. But you might be a great preacher, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah. You just need to excel at what you are called to do. Because if you'll take it and you'll work at it hard enough, and even the things you're not so good at, you go after it, it says those who excel, they'll stand before kings, not before common people. See, I see it all the time. Like with the football, we coach football, and the person drops the football the first time. Oh, I'm bad, I can't catch footballs. Whoa, I tell the kids, we don't talk like that. Even my own kids when they were real little, oh, I can't do it. No. And I tell them this, you can do it, but you don't know how to do it yet, right? You didn't know how to read before someone taught you how to read. You don't know how to do math until someone teach you how to do math. You don't know how to catch a football until someone teach you how to catch football. So I just tell them, listen, you just need to trust me, and you need to stick with me here, and you'll learn it. And I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I've seen my kids be so frustrated. Now listen, what if it was different? What if they didn't have the support? What if they had somebody say, yeah, you are dumb. You can't do it. See what I'm saying? And I'll tell you, we don't need help from people. We defeat ourselves. But a lot of times, our own fears, our own excuses, or these words that we speak and these lies that we believe, oh, I'm dumb, they undermine diligence. And they become our very excuses for why we can't succeed and can't be diligent. What I'm saying is, again, I'm not trying to be too intense. I'm saying that's the yoke of complacency, rooted in this fear. The truth is, if you just go after something and you keep trying, you'll get better at it. See, even myself, when I was in elementary school, junior high, I had a very difficult time with school. I talked too much. But I also had some learning difficulties. I wasn't very good at sports, you know, like real not coordinated, but I didn't realize it was affecting my schooling. And I was kind of slow at some of these things. You know, nowadays people, oh, David, you're so good at math. You know, you're so smart at these things. man, I'm slow. I was slow. I was kind of a late bloomer, if you will, and I needed some help. I needed some people to come alongside and tutor me and help me with some, like I said, help me with my coordination, not just with athletic coordination, but also with academics that affected the way I could write or process some things. And I began to excel. But I'll tell you this. When did I learn how to be diligent? When did I really see that breakthrough? I praise God for my dad and such. But when did I really learn? When I came to the Lord. When I came to God, the Lord put vision in my heart, and I began to be diligent because now I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do it under the Lord. And I had a purpose. I had something to aim at. But also some of these learning difficulties, even though I had some help, and I love helping kids and mentoring or tutoring. I've done tutoring and such. But I'll tell you this, it was the Lord. It was coming to the Lord. In fact, let me tell you another story here. Ooh, this one gets me choked up. I had a friend. I wasn't planning to share this. I have a friend. He's my best friend. And he was abused as a kid. It's horrible. Physical, mental, all that. When I met him, he had come to the Lord. He was on fire for Jesus, crazy for Jesus. We're both kind of crazy. And even in Bible college, when we were in Bible college, he was struggling at first. And in fact, one time he even cheated because that was kind of what he did in high school. And he actually, because he's a man of integrity, went to the dean, academic dean, confessed it, was willing to be kicked out if that was what it took. I mean, this is a man of integrity. He started getting those things dealt with. I remember working with him, studying with him, talking with him, praying with him. And I still remember, it was hard. We walked through forgiveness. We walked through some deliverance stuff. I mean, I'm telling you, I've been through it with my friend. And I had issues too. But the Lord with me, and then my friend went to counseling, you know, Christian counseling, and he did some other things. The Lord healed his mind. He graduated with his with a PhD, a doctor in theology, with straight A's through master's degree, straight A through his doctorate. He's brilliant. He's written his own discipleship curriculum. I mean, this guy's an amazing leader, preacher, pastor. And he was like on like the top list or whatever when he graduated from the doctorate. And he got to meet, I can't remember, some famous guy. Amazing. And I'll tell you, the Lord healed his mind. Because you know that abuse and such, that can affect physically people's minds as well as emotionally, all that stuff. What I'm saying is God is so powerful. He can cause our minds to be healed. He can cause breakthrough to happen in our life. But I'll tell you, my friend worked hard. He still works hard. Diligence releases the blessing. Diligence releases the blessing. I need to wrap this up, but let me tell you a couple stories here. Isn't that what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the fathers of our faith, when you go back in Genesis, isn't that what they were like? See, they're the fathers of our faith. They believed God, and the blessing of God was on their life. And you read their stories, and there was supernatural blessing on Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and even Joseph. Supernatural blessing. But when you read their stories, they worked hard. You have Abraham, who left everything, lived in a land that didn't even belong to him, didn't even have a kid, and the Lord blessed him with a kid and blessed him. The Bible says he became very rich. But he was disciplined and diligent. He was prompt in his obedience. If God said do something, he did it right away. I mean, God said, circumcise. And he did it right away. That's diligence, see? What about Isaac? Isaac, oh, you say, well, Isaac had an inheritance from his dad. He was blessed, you know. He was in the lead. Yeah, but do you remember Isaac? The moment he became a man and he had all this inheritance, famine hit the land. Drought, recession. What could he have done? He could have made excuses. He could have gone down to Egypt. He could have gotten in debt. He could have gone into bondage. God said, no, Isaac, I don't want you to go to Egypt. I want you to stay here in this land. And then he told Isaac this, I want you to sow in this land right here. Nobody else is prospering, but Isaac diligently sowed. See, if you don't sow, you don't reap. But listen, Isaac would not have had an abundant blessing if it wasn't for the supernatural hand of God. See, we have these obstacles that come at us. We have these external realities. But we're not in the same category as everybody else. If we'll sow, we'll reap. And God will put his supernatural power with us. What about Jacob? Do you remember Jacob? He worked for a man named Laban for 20 years. Laban was his father-in-law, and Laban was a crook. Yeah. Laban cheated Jacob. Listen to what Jacob actually says. He says this to Laban. He says, "These 20 years I have been with you, your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried their young, and I have not eaten the rams of your flock." Listen to this. "That which was torn by beasts I did not bring to you. I bore the loss of it. You required it of my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus I have been in your house 20 years. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Listen to what he says in verse 42. "Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night." You know what he's telling Laban? Because Laban, he was finally leaving Laban, and Laban was like, "What's up? You can't leave me." And Jacob was basically saying, "Step off. I have served you faithfully." But notice what he said. "I have served you so much that when he lost a lamb, he paid for it with his own self." I remember one time I was working at Taco Bell, and someone stole $20 out of my register. Someone stole $20. I knew who it was. And guess what happened? I paid that $20. Yeah. Why? Why? It's not fair. But I did it because of integrity. Because I was responsible for that register, and I was going to maintain my integrity. And I said that I didn't steal it, and here's the $20. Yeah. I'm going to do what I need to do to make things right. See, what I'm saying is there's just an attitude of diligence, an attitude of taking responsibility, of working hard. Jacob has that. You see that? He worked night and day. He worked diligent. He worked hard. But he working for a crook. But what did God do? God spoke to Jacob, told Jacob how to basically begin to invest and begin to work in a certain way so he could build up his own wealth. And that's exactly what happened. When Jacob left, he left Laban rich, and Laban was plundered. Not because Jacob did anything illegal, but because he just obeyed God. See, listen, we need that God's supernatural hand upon us. But diligence releases the blessing. Do you see what I'm saying? What, one more. Do you remember Joseph? Sold into slavery, did nothing wrong, and then ended up going into prison for doing nothing wrong. Right. And every time that he was put down, God would lift him up. And this is a man, did he, when he was in slavery, when he was in prison, did he whine and complain and blame everybody and just live lazy? No. He said, "Nah, I got a calling of God on my life." And so he would serve, he would work diligently. And the Bible says that these people would put everything into his hand because they knew they could trust him. See? But the Bible also says that the reason why Joseph prospered was because the favor of God was on him. But do you see? We have this covenant with God. We have blessing on our life. But we, as the people of God, we have to put our hand to it. We have to be diligent. And when we're diligent, it will release the blessing of God in our life. Yeah. Amen? Amen? And that's why it says in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're to do these things unto the Lord. That we serve the Lord. No matter what's going on around us, we serve the Lord. We come to God and we say, "God, what do you want me to do?" See, everything we own belongs to the Lord. Whether it's a house or a car or, you know, a bike or something like that. Our job, we're going to say, "Lord, I'm going to do it unto you. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to steward it. I'm going to manage it for your glory." See, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to be diligent. And that doesn't mean we burn out. That doesn't mean we don't take a day off. God worked 6 days, created for 6 days, and then took a day off. See? So we have to be diligent sometimes to rest too. Well, listen, we're going to get into some of the more detail of how do we do this? How do we get a budget? How do we get a plan? How do we go in the right direction? We're going to look at this in a few weeks in the next series. But do you see what the Lord is doing? He's breaking these yokes in our heart so that we can go after life and go after these things diligently. Amen?